Well, our final hour with Ralph Nader, and we're taking your calls, how the rats reform the Congress. And the website, by the way, is ratsreformcongress.org. Just write that down and keep it. Like he was saying, you can pick up 5 books for $50 and give them to your Senate and congressional folks, and hopefully they'll start waking up a little bit. But we'll come back and wake up with your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Ralph Nader, George Norrie with you here. Ralph, back in 1965, if you had capabilities of email, social networking, and things like that, would you have changed your approach at all?
No. I think it was more effective person-to-person, going up to the Senate and the House, connecting with good professional staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those days, they had staff that were very professional. Now they have K Street lobbyists who go up there for a few years representing a nice conflict of interest, and then they go back for higher-paid jobs with these corporate lobbies. So Mike Perchik wrote this great book, When the Senate Worked for Us, back in the 1960s and 70s. And we got all this wonderful legislation that has saved so much, prevented disease and better workplace safety and auto safety and cleaner air and water. So I think that the email, the social media, it tells you what's going on, you know, what meetings they are, and unparalleled in getting information. But there's nothing like person to person, because you can't get people to turn out. We've sent emails on events to tens of thousands of people, and you're lucky if you get 10 people. It's so overloaded. So we believe in telephone calls, letters, person to person meetings. That's what really gets things done.
Good point. Let's take some calls with you, Ralph. Let's go to David, truck driving in Arizona, talking about our night people. Hi, David. Go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Long-time
great listener.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Ralph. The reason I'm calling, and it's funny that you mentioned person-to-person connection, that's actually the solve for this. If we were to pay into our tax base, everybody has a burden. Your income, the amount of money you make, is the amount of your burden. What you write off and what you exempt yourself from leaves you where you are. But if we paid into our tax base like a 401k plan, where you would actually invest in the America you believe in. Now, those who would be the sharks swimming in the water to undo our monies would be as unvotable as next year. But in the process of making Congress and the House work for us, every man from a minimum wage worker to the top earners votes their dollar, and that makes America change. You want to vote for AIDS research? You can put your money in AIDS research. You want to vote for elderly care? You can vote for elderly care. But your tax burden is paid by your heart, which is what the vote was really supposed to mean.
That's kind of novel. What do you think, Ralph?
Well, in a computer age, you can do it much easier, you know, in terms of sending your tax dollars for different functions and changes. I mean, in the old days, it would be an unbelievable costly thing, but it can be done. I mean, there are people who, you know, sought conscientious objectors. They don't want to send money to a bloated military budget with all the corruption of the defense contractors. They want to send money for health care, or they want to send money to preserve the air and water, or to rebuild our schools. So it's an interesting point that he's making. But he mentioned minimum wage. That's another bad thing Congress done. They've sat on a $7.25 minimum, $7.25 an hour is the minimum wage. Nobody can live on that. And they refused to raise it. I mean, some members of Congress want to raise it, but the congressional majorities have been sitting on it. The members of Congress make $100 an hour. That's if they work a five-day week, but they usually come in Tuesday.
With a locked-in pension, too, right?
Yeah. $100 an hour, terrific pension, life insurance, terrific health insurance, even some rent subsidy, plus all kinds of freebies that's given them. And they're sitting on 30 million Americans who work every day and are making less in inflation-adjusted dollars than the workers made in 1968. And they refuse. McConnell, Senator McConnell, Speaker Ryan, and others are sitting while they take cash, campaign cash, from various corporations. and corporate executives and PACs. So that's why on the back of this book, George, I have 10 crisp indictments of Congress based on a lot of information. And when you send this book to your Senate and representative, and you say, you look at those 10 indictments, and you tell me in a letter, Senator, my representative, you tell me what your reaction is to this. I want you to see if you can rebut this. And you can't believe the power you will start having when you connect with your Congress and you build that citizen summons like a sheriff, citizen summons back to town meetings and to your own agenda. And then you'll find that in that town meeting will be liberals and conservatives. They will be pushing for the kind of America that almost everybody wants and can get.
I got to tell you, if I were running for political office, I'd use the back cover of this book as my agenda for the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them is, as a captive institution, Congress is a clear and present danger to our country. It feasts on raw global corporate power and is oblivious to various fateful degradations of life on the planet. I mean, here we're having climate disruption, climate devastation, and a majority of Congress says, well, yeah, that's just a cycle, you know, every 10,000 years. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a level of recklessness and ignorance that insults the intelligence of the American people. We are not being led by people that represent the best in us. It's the worst that often goes to the Congress. I mean, I see ignorance in the Congress, staggering ignorance. They even got rid of the technology assessment office because they didn't want to be told that a lot of the technologies they're pushing, like this ballistic missile defense system, which is a complete boondoggle. Even the Society of Physicists said it's not going to work, and it hasn't worked. They spent about $180 billion on that.
Oh, my God.
They spent $14 billion on this last year, and the Centers for Disease Control, which is designed to detect and head off global pandemics that could destroy tens of millions of people, they get $7.5 billion.
We got to get you behind something that we're pushing on this program, Ralph, and that's trying to protect the power grid from either an X flare, a solar flare from the sun, or an EMP attack. That's the detonation of a nuke by a nation up in the atmosphere that would wipe out the power system to the United States.
Yeah, Ted Koppel wrote a book on that.
He sure did, too. Yep.
And
we had him on the show.
All they do is shovel more tens of billions. The Pentagon got more money than even asked for. And there are retired generals and admirals that can tell us the incredible waste that's going on and the huge subsidies, bailouts, all that stuff could be squeezed out and the money coming back to help America and alert America. And that grid thing, that's frightening.
Yep.
I mean, China and Russia are embedded in our systems. We're embedded in their systems. And if there's ever a war, they wouldn't have to have aircraft carriers or missiles. They could just push the button.
Push the button.
All of the electrical grid and everything that's involved with it would collapse.
They say that if it is out for a year, which is conceivable, 300 million Americans die. That's almost everybody.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Let's go to our...
And so it's Congress that can turn this around. The beauty of our system is that the smallest branch of government is the most powerful. And we know their names, 535 senators and representatives. You know, when I sent this book, How the Rats Reformed the Congress, to people on Capitol Hill, there's this disgusting book. It's a revolting book because it starts out with the rats in the toilet bowl. And I say, really? I think the Congress, the congressional majorities are disgusting and they're revolting. And they better shape up, and we're going to get the people back home to do it. And who better than the Midnight Riders, huh? The Midnight.
You got it. We'll do it, and we'll help you. First-time caller, west of the Mississippi we go. Let us go to, not west of the Mississippi, it's east of the Mississippi. Let's go to S, anonymously. Hi, S.
Greetings. Yes, my comment is, I have a question and a comment. If people were to take their, my question is, if people were to take their money, the money out of the banking system, the current banking system, and not put it back in until Congress listens, and we keep it on the local level, how fast would America be fixed?
You mean like take all the cash out?
What's that?
Like take all your cash out?
Take it all out.
What do you think? Well, you know what? I don't know if you've ever been to a bank, but try to get your cash. They don't have enough money in the bank. They don't have it, Ralph.
I think, you know, the state governments and the city governments, George, they have hundreds of billions of dollars of tax money that they let Wall Street control and run, and the fees are staggering. So there's an effort now called the public banking effort. It doesn't compete with the commercial banks. It just says, look, if California or New York have tens of billions of dollars, pension money, working money, have their own banks, they'll save the taxpayer enormous amount of money. And it'll be much more accountable, and it won't have to be bailed out. And one of the models is the Bank of North Dakota. Here you have Republican North Dakota. It's had for 100 years the Bank of North Dakota. And when the banks collapsed in 2008 and 9 on Wall Street, the Bank of North Dakota didn't feel anything. They were running prudently, safely. Yep. They give student loans. They give loans to small business and to farmers. There's never been a scandal. So there's a public banking movement in this country so that your tax dollars that are already in the custody of cities, states, counties, can be run by public banks that are accountable to you, not by Wall Street banks with their staggering fees.
Do you have a report card for any of the congressional folks on the ratsreformcongress.org website?
No, but we there's an easy link to the various citizen groups that have it. That's another thing, by the way. Most members of Congress websites, they don't put their voting record on.
No.
Can you imagine?
No.
That's
and
the
I don't even think
thing
they
you want, right?
I don't even think they read anything they vote on. I think they have some congressional staff person who said, "Yeah, I saw it. I read it and do this." I don't think the Congress people read it.
No, they walk into the Senate floor and they got some guy putting the thumb down or the thumb up.
Yeah, that's right.
In terms of no, yes, the lobbyists are swarming. So the citizens pour into Congress in this book, and it's just a wonderful sight. I think there's some interest in Hollywood in this book.
That would be a great movie.
Rats
we're gonna have Willard the Rat as the lead. Get Willard the Rat as the lead in the movie.
Yeah, well, it is a very mysterious ending to this book. It's only 170 pages, very readable. There's a very mysterious ending to this book, and it's just ripe for a nice movie that could really excite people. Because I don't think people like to go through life powerless, having to swallow their grievances, their pain, their anguish, when there's no need for them to have this grievance, pain, and anguish. I mean, look, Congress is ignoring $3.5 billion. This is an amazing thing. Congress is ignoring $350 billion of computerized billing fraud in the healthcare industry. Who says so? The Government Accountability Office of Congress and the leading expert, the applied mathematician Malcolm Sparrow at Harvard University. He said that's the most conservative. That's half the military budget, $350 billion down the drain, and Congress doesn't even have a hearing on it.
Jeez.
Why? Because they're taking money from the health insurance companies, from the drug companies, various chains. And then they're not even looking at this, one of the major preventable causes of death, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine study. 5,000 Americans die every week due to preventable problems in hospitals.
Yep. It's outrageous.
You know, hospital-induced infections, malpractice. I mean, that's...
It's quarter million people a year.
More than 9/11.
Yeah, quarter million people a year, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
How many advocacy groups have you started or helped start since you've been doing this?
Oh, well over 100.
My God.
For example, the student public interest groups like California PIRG, Mass PIRG, Michigan PIRG, we started that. We started helped start Consumer Watchdog. We started Center for Auto Safety, Pension Rights Center, Public Citizen, Fair Tests, you know, that expose the racket of the standardized tests that students have to take. We've started groups all over the country, and most of them are thriving. And we would have started thousands of them, George, but the Supreme Court in the 6-3 decision ruled in favor of Pacific Gas and Electric. It didn't want to carry an insert at no cost to itself in its monthly bill inviting people to band together in nonprofit consumer action groups so they have a seat at the table. And that would have been one for bank customers, insurance customers, motor vehicle department people. And so that was a big blow in 1986, I think, that came down. It basically said the requirement the Pacific Gas Electric put an insert inviting people to join their own utility consumer group, listen to this, violated the First Amendment right of this corporate monopoly to stay silent and not be pressured to rebut what's on the insert. How about that?
I love that.
So these corporations are getting constitutional rights larger than the rights of real human beings. And that's why the corporate personhood movement is exciting. And that's part of the book. That's part of the changes that are made in Congress, that only human beings should have these constitutional rights. And corporations should be our servants, not our masters. They're artificial entities. I'm not talking about people in corporations, the corporation itself. Remember, the Constitution starts with we the people, the preamble. It doesn't start we the Congress. It doesn't start we the corporation. So we have the sovereign party power, which is a pretty good start, right, to take back our country.
That's right.
The sovereign power. And the greatest wealth in our country, George, is owned by the people but controlled by corporations. For example, the public lands, the public airwaves, trillions of dollars of pension funds owned by the people, all kinds of government research and development, tax money owned by the people. But we've let the corporations take control of what we own. And I think it's a very conservative movement to say, if we own these assets, we darn sure should have some control over how they're used and to prevent their abuse and being turned against us.
Ralph, in the 60s, you had a lot of young people behind you. Do you still have that today?
Yeah, they're not called Nader's Raiders. But the reason why you even have to ask that question is because the mass media excludes the progressive citizen groups in Washington and around the country who
right.
have helped improve this country so wonderfully in the last 70 years. We used to get on the NBC, CBS, ABC. We used to get in the New York Times, Washington Post. Doesn't happen anymore. They all want to write features and get Pulitzer Prizes and then drop the subject after they write the feature in a newspaper or magazine. So we do have a lot of young people. They always say, we want to improve our country and world. How do we do it? That's what this book is about. You start with controlling the Congress. That's what the book How the Rats Reformed the Congress is about. You go to ratsreformcongress.org. You'll see how you can build your power on your two senators and representative. And then you connect through the Internet with other people in all 50 states and the Commonwealth. And we're underway. It's easier than we think. Look, we changed things in the 60s and 70s with less than 1,000 people around the country. You get less than 1% of the people in congressional districts organized like a Congress watchdog hobby. You know, people spend $500 a year on their hobbies and 300 to 500 hours a year, I'm told, of various hobbies, things they collect. If we have less than 1%, can turn Congress around representing the majority opinion in this country.
That's
There's
dramatic.
A lot of majority opinion in this country about the redirections of our republic.
Ralph, we're going to come back and take final phone calls, and Ralph's website is linked up now for you at coasttocoastam.com, ratsreformcongress.org. Well, as you know, we've got our official YouTube channel going, so go take a look at it. First of all, we've got the icon right at the top of the coasttocoastam.com homepage. Click that, or if you're already on YouTube, just type in the search bar, Coast to Coast AM Official. It's got to be like that, Coast to Coast AM Official, and watch our YouTube channel and subscribe to it. It's absolutely free. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Ralph Nader, of course. And, of course, we're talking about his book, How the Rats Reformed the Congress. It's a great book, and it is really a superb message. Let's go back to the calls. Dennis in California, welcome to the show. Thanks for holding, Dennis.
Hey, you guys are both great.
Thank you.
So many of these topics make me want to say constitutional convention, but it's so hard to get the, I don't know, a two-thirds or three-fourths vote, depending on how that's going to go. And then it's going to be the elites that do it. And what I would like to pose and see if it fits into Ralph's format concepts or comes close is to have Ralph's organization or some other similar organization host a constitutional rewrite website that anybody in the world could input, you know, from lawyers, from teachers, from truck drivers, from anybody, input suggestions and ideas, and everybody be voting up or down on things or be adding recommendations to it, or why it's this is a good point or it's a bad point. And once we the people establish a wonderful constitution, true, it's not done in its congressional or constitutional format, but once we get it tweaked just right, they won't be able to hold themselves back with our push to have it done our way, not the elite's way.
What do you think of that, Mr. Nader?
Dennis, that's really a brilliant idea. What you're saying is you start out with an open source process on the Internet to have the best inputs, the best comments, the best ideas for a model U.S. Constitution. Our Constitution is out of date in many ways, technologically out of date, and corporations aren't even mentioned in the Constitution. Why do they have so much power over us? But that's right. It's like a preparatory movement where you have open source people bat back and forth. They comment, they propose, it gets refined. Because if you had a constitutional convention now, you're right, the corporatists, the lobbyists would take it over. We're not ready for it. So what you're saying is we need this process you just described of readiness to get the best intelligence out of people all over the country, regardless of how rich, poor, what their background is, and so on. It's really a good idea, you know, George?
It sure is. And Ralph, this project here, How the Rats Reformed the Congress, in your efforts, is that the new Corvair of the 2020s?
Yeah, this is the big thing, because people are so despairing and disappointed with what's going on in the country. And they keep saying, what can we do? We want to do something. I say, you've got this handle. It's called the Congress, with the huge power, the spending power, the tax power, the war declaration power, the investigative power, the nominations of judges, confirmation power, on and on. And it just happens to be 535 people whose names you know, and they're back home. And, you know, you turn that around, you turn the giant executive branch, you affect the states, and it can be done at the state legislative level as well. So that's why I really, if you send these books to your senators, representatives, it's like a laser beam message that says, we got your number, Senator. We got your number, Congress. You're not going to fool us, flatter us, and flummox us anymore. Either before elections or between elections, we mean business. And it has such organizing detail on the website, ratsreformcongress.org, that it's like a course, an instructional course, a how-to. And I think it will really get the morale of the people up. The morale is very low now. People's expectation levels have been driven to the bottom, and that's very bad. If you don't have high expectations of your political representatives, they're going to oblige you, because the lower you expect them to behave, the more they're going to oblige you. So we got to turn that around, and that's what's you were just talking in the break, George, on these global elites.
Yep.
Well, a great book has just come out by Peter Phillips, who's taught for many years at Sonoma State University. It's called The Giants. And it's all public documentation. It's the most powerful 300 to 400 people in the world. And they name them and they discuss them. And it's not slander or anything. These are people who have huge wealth or huge positions in government or in banks or tops of giant universities and on the board of directors. So he would be a great guy to have.
Yeah, we'll get him.
On the program. And by the way, the Eastern media establishment, so to speak, totally ignored the book, and he is an acknowledged expert. He put out year after year this book called Project Censored, Sonoma State, Peter Phillips.
We'll track him down. Let's go next to Joseph in Lynn, Massachusetts. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Good morning. morning, George. I have a little cold. Bear with me. Ralph, I got three things to say. I've been waiting so long. First is easy. The second two are kind of tough. And then, George, I got a little message to give to you on a sad note about one of our Star Trek icons. I hope we can help her. One is your book, An Audio for Visually Impaired People, that like me, that can't read print. And the next is, how would you, as President Ralph Nader, fix the health care and all this system, these living assisted places, so that they don't take all your money? You know what? I know some people that live in them, their families send them money. And as you know, I don't have a family. But how would you fix that and do that? Because you've got the right idea, but things just aren't working out. I mean, Congress does. I've called them and asked for help, and they don't care. And third, George, I just wanted to let you know, Lieutenant Uhura, Michelle Nichols.
Yeah.
She has a conservator. She has slight dementia like my friend does, but they've taken all her money. They threw her in a rest home. Donna said she was on the radio a while ago last month. But, Ralph, how would these things stop? People are being treated like dirt, and you know these nursing homes. I've been in them, and we'd like to contact you in an email off the air, and I'll listen on the air. And thank you, George. I apologize for my voice.
Okay, Joseph, you're fine there.
Ralph did a report on nursing homes about 45 years ago. So the church-based nursing homes are better usually. The commercial nursing homes, it's just making a buck, and the treatment sometimes staggeringly awful. So the health, first of all, when we talk about health care, we got to distinguish. You can have a good health insurance system and bad health care. So if the companies constantly are pushing junk food on these kids, turning their tongues against the brain, circumventing parental authority and discipline, junk food, junk drink, obesity, youth diabetes, high blood pressure propensity, you can have all the health insurance in the world. That doesn't change the health care, the health. So we have to separate the two. We have to have a health movement in this country. And that means cleaner air and cleaner water. It means safer medicines. It means prevention, exercise, good diet, etc. In terms of health insurance, how to pay for it, right now the best example is Canada. In Canada, for half the price, that's $4,500 per capita. We're over $9,000 per capita, and we have 30 million people still without coverage, health insurance, and 35,000 people die because they can't afford health insurance to get diagnosed and treated in time in the USA, land of the free, home of the brave. So for half the price, Canada gives you your free choice of doctor and hospital, none of these nonsense networks, and you're covered from cradle to grave. Everybody is covered, free choice of hospital and doctor. Now, all health insurance systems in the world have problems, but we should have Canada's problems. And I also believe in cooperatively owned hospitals and clinics. To the extent that you can decentralize the system from these giant hospital chains, these impersonal automation of medicine, where the doctor is looking more at the computer screen when you're in the doctor's office and looking at you. The more you can decentralize it in community health clinics that focus also on preventive measures, and the more we can have cooperatively owned hospitals. As Dr. Shea did in Oklahoma, started the first farmer-owned cooperative hospital in 1929. Just a little bit of history there. He was a Lebanese immigrant, and he helped launch prepaid medicine that we now call Kaiser and Puget Sound, etc. But that's the way I would go, and there's no smarter guy in the country than Dr. Fred Hyde from Ridgewood, Connecticut, who knows exactly what the problems are in excruciating detail. He has a medical degree in Yale and law degree from Yale and an MBA from Columbia. So anybody who wants a superb analytical expert with impeccable integrity about how to change our health care system and our health insurance system, Dr. Fred Hyde, Ridgewood, Connecticut.
Susan's with us now, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Go for it, Susan.
I just wondered if all your, if so many people order these books at $5 a piece, $50 a piece.
Oh, no, they're $10 a piece. $10 a piece. You get five books for $50.
$50 for each person who sends me in.
Okay.
My question is, what's Ralph going to do with all that money?
We put it right into the consumer movement, as we have for 50 years. I have never taken a cent out of all the groups I've started. Not a cent. There are some environmental groups where the CEOs paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not me. And also, a single copy is $20, paperback, and that includes shipping. And it's all the books are autographed by me. And a hardback is $30, and that includes shipping. But if you want to send the laser beam Thunderbolt to your senators and representatives, you can get five paperbacks for $50, 10 paperbacks for $100. That includes shipping, and they're all autographed. And it's ratsreformcongress.org. And then you have access to the instructional material on how you and your neighbors can form these Congress Rat Watchers group and get citizen summons sent to your senator representative. So you eyeball them back home in your own town meetings, your own agenda. No flacks, no staff interference, eyeball to eyeball with those 535 people that have your enormous sovereign power in their custody, and we're going to get it back.
Okay, let's go to Joe in the Bronx in New York. Joseph, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
All right, Joe.
Good. Thanks. Ralph, it's a pleasure to speak to you again. I wanted to ask you, with the passing of former President George Herbert Walker Bush and his making the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, a reality, how do you feel or think that we can improve the lot of 50 million disabled Americans in this country as far as financially improving their lot and also job-wise?
You know, Joe, we have a long ways to go, but we have made huge progress since in the last 50 years. When I started with Ralph Hotchkiss, who has reinvented the wheelchair into much more powerful, resilient wheelchair technology, the Disability Rights Center in Washington, people couldn't go around the towns. There was no dip, you know, they couldn't go off the curb. Most of us in our age, we never went to any schools where we had kids with disabilities. They wouldn't carry them up the stairs. They'd have to stay home with all the isolation and the psychological damage. So look at the changes now. We have not only, you know, the sports where disabled people are playing sports, but we have more equal opportunity. We have more assistance. We have more mobility. And as I say, we have more long way to go. But you know who made this happen? It was people with disabilities.
That's right.
They took control of the government offices with Joe Califano and the Health and HEW department. They protested. They went to the press in their wheelchairs. And then they got the attention of the nation. And so Bush signed the Americans with Disability Act. It's a difficult act to implement and enforce, but think of the alternatives when there was nothing. And I think Ralph Hotchkiss, who was written up in Parade magazine once, he is the hero in my book. He got out of Oberlin, an engineering student. He's a paraplegic. He goes all over the world teaching people in third world countries how to build sturdy wheelchairs from local materials. He helped break the global monopoly on Tinsy wheelchairs, the Jennings Corporation out of London. And he teaches women and men in third world countries how to do their own wheelchairs. Because, you know, there's no flat surface in a lot of these countries. It's not like a hospital.
That's a good point.
Corridor.
Yeah. Bad roads, no sidewalks?
Yeah, no sidewalk. I mean, he calls this group Whirlwind Wheelchair. It's out of Berkeley, California. And I'm telling you, that wheelchair can do everything but fly. It's so wonderfully built. And he was at Constitution Hall 2 years ago on the stage in our BreakingThroughPower.org symposium, 8 days. And he literally tried to break the wheelchair. He'd go up on a block and come back. And here he is, a paraplegic, and the wheelchair didn't break.
What would you say, Ralph, in the minute we have left, is the biggest issue facing Congress today and the American people?
The biggest issue is they are not under control of the people. They're not under control of the intelligence and goodwill and fair play of the people. They're under control of giant corporations. All they want to do is make more profit and give more bonuses and special privileges to the top bosses. That's the big problem. The collision of commercialism over civic values. Throughout history, it's the subordination of commerce and the merchant class to the superiority of humane civic values, health, safety, respect for us, natural world, respect for posterity, education, opportunity. When it's flipped, when Congress now subordinates civic values to commercial power, greed, and commercial domination, that's the big issue. Your issue on the electrical grid system, issues about loss of life and preventable problems in hospitals, huge ripoff of consumers, waste of taxpayer dollars, all of these can be confronted rationally, humanely, for the American people.
We got to fix it, Ralph, indeed. The book is called How the Rats Reformed the Congress. The website, ratsreformcongress.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Thanks, Ralph.